بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. There is a very famous hadith in Bukhari Sharif, etc. من قال هلك الناس فهو أهلكهم. If anybody has to say that people are gone off, people are lost, they're gone off, then he is the worst of the lot. Now the question is that why has the hadith declared this person to be the worst of the lot? There are two reasons given. One reason is this, that he had considered himself to be superior, and therefore he has counted everybody else as lost and astray. So he considered himself superior to the rest of the crowd, and therefore the hadith declares him to be the worst person. The second explanation that is given is that when he says that people are lost, people have gone astray, then he has made people despondent of the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. So now all people are astray now, there's no hope. So when he makes this type of statements, then this type of statements creates despondency. When it creates its despondency, then he didn't render any good service for the ummah. Rather, he brought the ummah to the point of despair. So therefore the hadith declares such a person to be the worst. It's a different thing where someone is really concerned, and out of deep concern he makes this type of statement, then it's a different thing. When I say deep concern, in other words, he wants himself and others to do something about it. Say the school is gone off now, or the university is gone off, is gone wrong. So he's mentioned this, why he wants people now not to be in their slumber and their sleep. They must get up and do something to rectify and correct situations. So if that was the intention and that was the niyat, then they say that this is an exception to the case. Overall, to make this type of statements which create an impression that you feel yourself to be superior than others, holier than thou, then Rasulullah doesn't like this. In the Bani Israel, there was one person that was involved in wine and wrong habits. And his friend was a pious person. So the pious friend kept on warning him, "By, better come straight now, come straight." So he kept on pursuing. One day the sinner told him, "By, leave me to Allah Ta'ala. Are you made as an instructor over me, as a police over me, that you pursuing me all the time?" So this pious person he went into a fit of rage, and he says, "Allah Ta'ala will never forgive you." He stated these words, that Allah Ta'ala will never forgive you. Both of them died, the pious died, and the sinner also, both died. Allah Ta'ala had summoned both, and he asked the sinner, he asked the good person, who gave you the right and the authority to make someone despondent of my mercy, to drive someone away from my mercy? Who gave you the right? Are you in control of my mercy? Are you in control of my forgiveness that you mentioned this type of statement to him? Now you go to Jahannam. That you cut off my servant from my mercy, and you the control and the authority over this mercy and this forgiveness that you made this type of statement. And Allah Ta'ala declared for the sinner that you go to Jannat because you always had that type of hope in my mercy. You never broke your expectation in the mercy and the compassion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these type of sweeping statements are very, very dangerous. One doesn't ponder as to the statements that he is making, And overall, he considers himself to be too pious, thinking himself to be holier than thou, then he makes this type of statements, that this is wrong. One is to go and invite and to call the person towards righteousness, that's your duty. That's a faraz. It's not just an optional thing, but it's a faraz. Each person, over his subordinates, he will have to control them, he'll have to show authority, he'll have to put them onto the right. The father over the children, the elder over the junior, the one that is in position over the rest of the subjects. So each one will have to do amr bil ma'ruf, he will have to enjoin the truth according to his capacity and according to his means. That is one thing. But that doesn't give you the license to consider someone to be lower, inferior, and consider yourself to be superior. They are two different things. Azzaji Rahmatullahi once gave an incident. He says that after the Friday majlis, one senior alim came and seen me. Senior alim, he had come and seen me. And Hazrat was speaking on the same lines. And this alim says, you know what, I experienced this, what you're talking about. I myself experienced this, what you are talking about. Because I'm in charge of writing fatwas and verdicts on deen. And with the abundance of cases of divorce, and then people want to go the halala route, that is, after they have issued three divorces, then they get their wives remarried to someone, and when that person divorces, then they remarry their wives. So this is what is called halala, and this is what the Quran Sharif prescribes, that if you have issued three divorces, then this is the route you're supposed to be taking. Unfortunately, in this day and age, people want to make the Shariat convenient to them. They want to adjust things, make the Shariat convenient to them. If something is not to their liking and to their taste, then very quickly and readily they are adjusting things. So that is not the law of Allah Ta'ala. If you are adjusting and you are trying to make improvements in the Sharia, distortions actually, then this is not the Sharia. This is your own convenience. This is not the law of Allah Ta'ala. It's not the system of Allah Ta'ala. You need to stand yourself in the court of Allah Ta'ala, the one that is Alimul Ghaybi wa Shahada. He knows everything that is hidden and everything that is open. Everything is equal to him, whether it's hidden or open. Both are totally identical, equal to him. And then ask yourself, are you guilty of this? If you're guilty of it, then come out straight, clear before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't hide. You're going to hide, you're going to mess things for your own self. You'll make things worse for your own self. How can you hide from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How can you conceal anything from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he is alimul ghaybi wa shahada? As Shaykh Hadith Mawlana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib rahmatullahi says, sometimes a person is struck with a bad death because of this type of situations. When he has done a wrong, then he wants to justify the wrong. He wants to make some type of an explanation where he can come out of the wrong. So this is very dangerous. This is very dangerous, as though you are saying that you want to cheat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala is saying something and you say no, that it happened like this. Though within your heart you know that it didn't happen like this. You know, between you and Allah Ta'ala, you know exactly that this is how it happened. But now, then you begin to feel, if I am going to separate my wife, what the whole world is going to say, what's going to happen to these children, infant children, what's going to happen to them, and how am I going to face up to society, and what is the world going to say? And because of all these type of thoughts, then you get into a fix. Your mind is in a confusion now. You don't know what to do. Then, to circumvent this whole thing, he says, no, I didn't mean this, I meant this, and this is how it happened. And somehow you try and forge a permissibility for you. Now, to forge this permissibility is not difficult, it's an easy thing. One woman was caught for some type of illicit relationship in the time of Alamgir Aurangzeb, the last of the successful kings of India, Alamgir Aurangzeb. He ruled approximately for 50 years. Now, she was caught for some type of illicit relationship. And she knew now that she is convicted for this crime, according to the Islamic law, then she must be stoned to death. In the time of Rasulullah Pak Sasan, people used to come up front, clear. I have done this crime, Ya Rasulullah, tahirni, just purify me. Ya Rasulullah, tahirni, just purify me. I am guilty of this crime. They would come forth to Rasulullah Pak Sasan and say, confess, agree, acknowledge that this is the crime that I am guilty of, and I want to be purified. So their conscience were clear, their minds were clean. There was nothing they were hiding within their minds. And then Allah Ta'ala treated them as well in the same manner. Ma'iz Aslami radiallahu, when his incident had taken place, and he had come forthward, he came forward to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and said, this is what I am guilty of. So clean me, Ya Rasulullah. And then, because he was a married person, so a trench was dug, and he was stoned to death. When he was stoned to death, then two people began to talk to themselves. You can see this person here. What a thing he did. What a wretched thing he did. He died like the death of a dog. Rasulullah overheard these people's conversation. This person died the death of a dog. Anyway, when Rasulullah heard this, so Rasulullah asked them, see this ditch down there, you see a dead ass. Don't you see that? He said, yes. So go and eat of its flesh. So they said, Ya Rasulullah, it's dead. So then Rasulullah went on to explain these people something to the effect that what you have been engaging in was worse. You were making ghibat of this person, and this was even worse. You were running him down, that was even worse. وَإِنَّهُ لَفِي أَنْهَارِ الْجَنَّةِ يَنْغَمِسُ فِيهَا. And presently, he is in Jannat. He is in Jannat. And Rasulullah is a witness that he is in Jannat, this person. He's in the rivers, the streams, and the gardens of Jannat. So here he has secured himself, and you people have put yourselves into a predicament. So in the day of Rasulullah, these people were very clear. They came straight to Rasulullah, this is what happened. And we want to be cleansed, we want to be purified. The reason was that they understood and they believed that Allah Ta'ala is Alimul Ghaybi wa Shahada. He knows what is secret and what is open. What is hidden and what is open, Allah Ta'ala knows it equally. There isn't a thing like Allah Ta'ala knows the open better than He knows the secret. Both are identical to Him. There is no such a thing that He knows only the open, He doesn't know the secret, the one that is hidden. He knows both and He knows it both equally. So this was the state of the Sahaba Ikram, that they would come right out to Rasulullah and mention it to them, to Rasulullah. In Etikaf, this is what is required, that we come forthward to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and acknowledge and confess that this is the wrong. We have wronged. Definitely, 100%. There is no two ways about it. Ya Allah, we have wronged. Abu laka bi ni'matika alayya wa abu bi dhanbi. We have wronged ourselves. Now this is a sign of iman. When the person comes before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he acknowledges 100%. He doesn't hide around. He doesn't mess around. He says, no, I've done this and I'm sure I've done this. I am guilty. So I implore your forgiveness. I am guilty, so I'm imploring and begging your forgiveness. Now this is a person that Allah Ta'ala loves. He's committed the wrong, he's coming out in the open, and he's begging the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala against that person that is trying to cover up for the wrong and not confessing and not admitting the wrong that he has committed. So this is what we need to learn in these few days of Etikaf, 10 days. To become a man, it takes a lot of time to become right, to come on the cause. Now this is just a wake-up call. That Etikaf, 10 days is too short. To become a man and to come onto the cause is too short a time. But it's just a wake-up call to create some type of understanding and realization within our minds. You can see what path have we adopted. Are we on the right, or we need to review the path that we have taken? So this is the reason why we come here. To give us a wake-up call, to create an awakening within us, to create some type of awareness within us. Okay, we have taken a path, and that path seems to be wrong. So we need some type of awakening, some type of understanding. So when we got that understanding, now we know, all right, now this is where I'm going off, and this is how I need to rectify myself, and this is how I need to correct myself. Like a person's books went right? For all the years it wasn't right. So he goes up to the accountant, I messed up the whole thing. So the accountant will show him a path, all right, this is what you do, this is what you do, and this is how you work your whole book. So then it's left to the individual. If the individual takes the advice of the accountant, then inshallah he'll get out of trouble. But just that advice is not sufficient. He will have to implement that advice, and then he'll be bailed out of trouble. But if he doesn't, and he becomes adamant, and he begins to contest and challenge the law, then the fear is that whatever he's got, everything will get wiped away. Not only the taxes that are due, but even the other wealth that are pure and that are legal, that will also get wiped away. So same with the person who's trying to challenge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who's trying to confront Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then whatever you've got, that also will get wiped out. It'll all get cleaned out. So the simple, easy, very, very simple, basic and elementary procedure is come forth before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, declare and confess and acknowledge, this is my wrong, this is the mistake. Allah ta'ala, I did it, and I don't say that I've got any excuse for doing it. I left out my namaz. I didn't do the fast as I'm supposed to be doing it. I left out these obligations, these prohibitions I'm guilty of. My eye I'm wrong of. I'm guilty of. The ear I'm guilty of. In this day, what's happening is that everybody feels that he's too smart, you see. He's too smart. And he can find out some type of a logical explanation for himself. You explain to one person by, don't listen to music. So he's got an explanation to justify. He says, no, I only listen to the words of wisdom. The music and all that in the background, I don't listen to all that. I only listen to the words of wisdom that I can glean out of this whole song. See? So he's got a reason. You explain one person by, don't look at porn and all this type of bad literature and movies, etc. So he says, no, but I have to do it, and I encourage my children and my grandchildren. Old man is telling me, I encourage my children and my grandchildren, because if they don't see all this thing here, how will they learn how to make love? By from Baba Adam alayhi salam's time, people making love, getting married, till now. Suddenly now they got the need to look at movies, literature, etc., so that they will learn love. See, now that's what's going in the school. They're teaching you a right living. As though there wasn't a need for this all the years. Now suddenly they came up, oh, there is a need for it. And then, when people fall further into a problem, you know, when you teach a child an experiment, right? You teach a child any theory or any concept, then what goes into the child's mind? Let's go and experiment it. So you're teaching the child some type of life, right living, right? These are the steps that you go. You don't go direct. These are the steps that you take. Now the child wants to experiment it. You're talking about masturbation, he wants to do that. You talk about condoms, he wants to go and experiment that. Doesn't it happen? It happens 100%. I'm 100% sure that this thing happens. But it's there. And we just turn a blind eye. So what we are getting at is, when there is a wrong in community, is a wrong around, and it's becoming very, very aggressive. It's becoming aggressive. It's coming very, very common. Then we need to take cognizance of the wrong, number one. And then we need to be alert. How do I rectify? How do I correct? What corrective measures should I put in to get this in place? Now this is why we are out here, to get these things right. Allah Pak likes that person. In the Bani Israel, one person had committed approximately 100 murders. And then he went to an alim, explained to him that the procedure for your tawbah to get accepted is, you go to the Qaryatul Salihin, to the village of the pious. You will go in that direction, Allah Ta'ala will forgive you, inshallah. Whatever the system was in the Bani Israel, you will remain here, so you will be enticed further in the wrong, and you go to the Qaryatul Salihin, the town of the pious, inshallah, there will be a different outlook of life that you will see. So you rather go to that town, Allah Ta'ala will forgive you, inshallah. Midway Sakarat, he is involved in Sakarat, and then he dies. Now in Sakarat also he's struggling, crouching around, kneeling, trying to go to that land. Because that was told him that this is the precondition for your tawbah getting accepted. You have committed so many wrongs, but you do this, Allah Ta'ala will forgive you. Now, at the time of his death, there are two farishtas, two angels. The angels of punishment and the angels of mercy and reward. Both are having a difference of opinion. The punishment, the angel of punishment says, no, I must take his soul, because he did all these things, 100 murders he committed. So I am entitled to take his soul away. And the angel of mercy and favor is saying, that no, I need to take his soul away, because he made an initiative, he tried, he made tawbah, he made an initiative to go on to the right. But they got a difference of opinion. So we understand that even the malaika got difference of opinion. If the ulama have difference of opinion, then we don't make it a story now. Hey, the ulama got difference of opinion, what should we do? If the malaika, Allah Pak's chosen creation, they got a difference of opinion. So if they got a difference of opinion, ulama have difference of opinion, what's wrong in it? What's so great about it? Which alim you feel confident between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You think to yourself that he is more muttaqi, he's more learned, he's more righteous, he's more understanding. So you just follow him, carry on. That person, whatever comes to him, his mind, he will do that. But why should we make an issue of it? Here the malaika, the hadith has got this. The sahih hadith has got this. Okay, this is a difference that is carried on between these two malaika. Allah Pak sends a third farishta to arbiter. To arbiter and to judge between the both. Right? So the one that is arbitering, he says, all right, what you do? You measure the land from where he came to the spot that he died. And measure the land, the point he died, to the land of the pious. Whichever is shorter, then count him from that land. In the meanwhile, now look, when a person is pious, when a person is righteous and he's trying to do correct things, he's trying to put in the corrective measures, he's trying to improve himself, then Allah Ta'ala's help come to his rescue. But you must try. When you try, and you can't do it, you can't accomplish it, but his help will definitely come to your rescue. Now, he was closer to the land of sin and further from the land of mercy. But Allah Ta'ala is in supreme control. So Allah Ta'ala says, the land of sin, and you expand, you expand, you expand. Right? And he says to the land of mercy that you now contract. So now the both farishtas are measuring up. They measure up that he is closer to the land of the righteous. See that? Man tried. All Allah Pak wants to see, are you trying to put in corrective measures? Are you coming clear to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or are you trying to hide away playing games and trying to play monkey tricks? What are you doing? Are you clear to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or are you trying some games? If you're clear with Allah ta'ala, then he will definitely bless you. He will look at you favorably. Man did so much of crimes, so much of wrong. 100 people he murdered. Not one thing, not one person. 100 Muslims he killed. 100 Muslims, what a great severe crime he's committed. But for him also, Allah ta'ala didn't seal up the door of forgiveness. He came up forthwith. He came open to Allah ta'ala. Number two, he tried to put all the corrective measures. He followed the procedures. Now Allah Pak sees this person. Well, whatever was within his capacity, he did everything. He exhausted all his effort. Now then to shower the mercy is my job. He did what he could do. Whatever he could manage, he did. Now beyond that, he can't do anything. So let me shower him. And then he commands the land. You contract it and you expand. So who's controlling? Allah is controlling. But he's looking at your intentions. He's looking at your endeavor. He's looking at your effort. He's looking at all these things. It's coming right that he'll make everything work. All the plans are just working out. All the systems are just working out for you. Such a simple thing. You just be straight with him. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ تَابُوا وَأَصْلَحُوا وَبَيَّنُوا. You repented. And then you try to rectify things. And you were clear. وَبَيَّنُوا. You were clear. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورُ رَحِيمُ. Allah Pak says, I am then غَفُورُ رَحِيمُ. But you repent. You come sincerely. You try and rectify. And you be open. You be clear to me. Then I will work out a plan for you. I'll make all the systems work out for you. You do that, the systems are in my control. I'll make it work for you. Now the land becomes narrower this side towards the land of the pious, and then he's ushered into the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. Man, whole life he led in sin, transgression, in the worst form of sin. Imagine now, 100 murders, how many widows he must have left, right? How many people he must have left orphans, right? Destitute. What a predicament he must have put people into. But then too, though Allah Ta'ala is Arhamur Rahimin, he is most merciful. From all, he is most merciful. He's created mercy, obviously. So he's most merciful, most loving, and most compassionate. But this aspect of tawbah, turning to Allah Ta'ala, tawbah means you're turning to Allah Ta'ala, and you're turning correctly, You are rectifying situations. And you are clear to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You love it so much that all this I can wipe out in one stroke. One stroke, I can wipe everything out. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ تَابُوا وَأَصْلَحُوا وَبَيَّنُوا. So we're talking of that incident of Azaji rahmatullahi alayhi, where that alim says to Azaji rahmatullahi alayhi that, you know, I experimented this, I tried this out myself, I'm a victim of this. Because I used to write out fatwas, you see. And many cases used to come like this, and people used to practice halala. So, it came out of my tongue, kya ho gaya logo ko, ki apne biwi ko chaka chaka karke, phir unko shadi mein lete hain. What has gone wrong with people? They get their wives married to others and bring them back into the nikahs. They let others enjoy their wives and then get their wives back into nikah. So this was a statement that he made. And logo ka kya ho gaya ki apne biwiyon ko chaka chaka karke phir shaadi mein le lete hain. They let others enjoy of their wives and then they take them, retreat them back into the nikah. What's gone wrong with the people? Now, systems all are in Allah Ta'ala's hand. Control is Allah Ta'ala's hand. Allah Pak doesn't like this type of statements. Where you feel yourself to be superior, you feel yourself to be holier than thou, Allah Pak doesn't like that. Man has committed a wrong, guide him, correct him, but you don't have the right to despise him. Advise, don't despise. That's the right, that's your duty to advise, but not to despise. So anyway, he says, now, every time I come home, my mother is complaining about my wife. Everything is turning around. Before, my wife and my mother were as thick as anything they were. But now, every time I walk into the house, then my mother is complaining, oh, she did this wrong, and this wrong, this is not right, and this is not right. Until I came up to the hilt, you know, I was really frustrated. And then I just let drive. All three talaqs, I just gave it. Now when I gave the three talaqs, my mother discovered that this is what has happened. My mother says that this girl is never going to leave this house here. I got this girl into the house, she's not going to leave this. I'm going to make the halala, I'll arrange the halala, but this girl is not going to leave this house. So he says, but I went and experimented this myself, I was a victim of it. When I made this statement, Allah Ta'ala made everything turn against me. You see, the statements, this tongue is a very, very dangerous thing. Very, very dangerous thing. We think it's a small thing, insignificant thing. But the harm, the danger that it can bring about, that is something incredible. It's very serious. Very, very serious. The hadith says it. Look after the eyes and the tongue. Eyes and tongue, you'll get into Jannah. So at least for this i'tikaf, we learn these two things. Eyes and tongue. Eyes, in other words, the farj, but simple thing, because the farj problems start off from the eyes. So therefore I say the eyes. The eyes and the tongue. You get this straightened, you get this rectified, you get this correct. And the simple way to get it correct is that before you open your mouth, think, what will be the short-term consequence? What will be the long-term consequence? I mentioned this to this person today. Right? Today, I just gave him a piece of my mind. I just let it go. You know. Tomorrow what will happen? How will be our relationship tomorrow? Then how am I going to face this person tomorrow? Now I think of the long-term consequence. So I thought of the short-term, I thought of the long-term, then I calculated the statement, and I made it palatable, and then I presented it to him. Now there's no problems. But a thing came in your mind, and you let it go, you let it drive, you let it move. And now you can't reverse it. Once it's out, then you can't pull it back. You squeeze the trigger and you want that bullet to be reversed. It can't be reversed. Same is the tongue. You let it go now and you want it to be reversed. It can't be reversed. So the simple way to get it right, and in this way we get our actions and our deeds all secured, is that we look after our tongues and our eyes. This is about the greatest challenge in this age and time. Eyes and tongue. One pious person was seated and he saw a janaza moving. So he saw something very strange and peculiar, that there's only four people carrying this bier, three men and one woman. So he felt pity, what happened now? There's nobody to support this bier, there's nobody to support this janaza. What has happened here? So he went up to that woman that was supporting the fourth leg. Says, "Who is this? And my son?" So, but there's only four people. Say, "No, people used to disgrace him, and for a natural deficiency within him, he had some natural deficiency, and they should disgrace him. So, therefore, nobody attended his janazah except four people: three men and myself." So he felt pity over this woman and her child, and he asked the woman to go away. He supported the fourth leg. They buried the body, made dua, whatever, like the normal procedure is, and then he went home. Now he's seeing in his dream someone in Jannat, in a very, very high position in Jannat, very, very high position, with all the frills and all the honors, all the honors in Jannat. Who are you, bhai? Oh, that same person that you buried. But this is what people were speaking about. You said, "Yeah, they were speaking about me like this. It's true. But for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, I used to be patient. I should just remain silent. I won't say anything." See, you know, today we feel we must say our bit, we must say our part of it. And if you hold it too much, then you'll get mad. So we don't think about sabr and the rewards that sabr bring. We just think about the worldly side, the material side. No, you make too much sabr, you'll get mad. No, you make sabr, the one that is recording, he's watching what you're doing. That could be your jannat just now. This could be your jannat. So make sabr. One sahabi, when Rasulullah advised the sahaba kiram to do some charitable deeds, so he says, "Ya Rasulullah, I don't have any wealth to do any charity, any charitable work, any type of humanitarian and charitable work. I don't have the wealth, but I take a vow with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from today. As from today, I take a vow with Allah ta'ala that if anybody insults me, anybody runs me down, then I will not take any revenge. I will not reply. For the sake of Allah ta'ala, I have forgiven him from the bottom of my heart. No matter what he's done and how he's destroyed my reputation, however he's insulted me, however he's disgraced me, but for the sake of Allah ta'ala, I'll remain absolutely silent." So these Sahaba-i-Kiram were looking for avenues to get admitted into the mercy. So this person also said that, "People, my whole life was spent in this. People are running me down, disgracing me, insulting me, hurling abuse against me. For the sake of Allah ta'ala, I just remained silent. I didn't tell them anything. So Allah ta'ala loved this so much that he's exalted me today. What a small little bargain. That he just kept quiet. He didn't say anything. For the sake of Allah ta'ala, he just remained silent. And here, that became the means of his jannah. Allah ta'ala grant us tawfiq."